Welcome to Good Questions, Real Answers. I'm Kimberly with Lion and Lamb Ministries. This is Monty Judah, our director. Good morning, Monty.
Good morning.
We've been having a little fun on the set today.
We have. Looking forward to our Q&A questions.
Yes, indeed. And we've got some really good ones today.
Excellent.
Yes. So let's jump in.
All right.
Okay. This first question is from Renee. And Renee asked, did John the Baptist actually lay hands on Jesus to baptize him? Or was he more of someone who encouraged the baptism?
Well, we don't know, quite honestly. We know that he, quote, baptized him. So you'd probably have to go back and do a study on how did they do baptisms in that time.
Yes.
The best information that I have for you is that baptisms were very common. And generally, what would happen is, I think that John the Baptist was in the role of a witness.
Okay.
To it, and that he came forward, and there was an acknowledgement that this was going to be a baptism to the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and that generally in those days you would lower and immerse yourself.
Yes.
You weren't necessarily assisted. You know, the Christian way is they lay you backwards and
yes.
so forth. That's not necessarily the Hebrew way. The Hebrew way is you went face first in. Mm-hmm. You'd lower your, bend your knee, and then go forward into the water.
Yes.
And that John the Baptist would have been in the role of a witness to it, making a proclamation over mm-hmm. it, that it was in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
So as to whether or not he actually touched him or was a part of the him lowering him, we just don't know.
Right.
But given, you know, the traditional Hebrew way that a mikveh was done in
yes.
those days, I would say, well, it wasn't the Christian way that you see baptism the way it is. It probably was the Hebrew method.
Well, you know, and even today, like when I was in Israel in 2022,
mm-hmm.
I was on a field study, but it was a Messianic group. And we went to the Jordan. We did the mikveh.
Right.
And that's what we did. Even though we had a rabbi presiding over us,
right,
sort of as the witness and just saying the prayer. But we all were standing in the river.
Yeah.
And you just bend your knees and lower yourself under the water and come back up.
Right.
And that was it. And he did the blessing after and there we
were. Exactly. Yeah, that's a very famous place in Israel. It's mm-hmm. called Yarnit.
Yes.
And they have built baptismal baths there for a lot
yes.
of Christians to come. If you're on the southern steps of the Temple Mount, you can see the ancient mikvahs, where they had a set of stairs where you walked down
mm-hmm.
into it, immersed yourself, and then came up a different
yes.
set of stairs, you know, for it. And again, it's not the traditional big tub and,
right.
and so forth. And I might add that the Hebrew way of a mikveh is you have to have living waters.
That's right.
It has to be flowing, moving waters. It can't right. be just a container of water. So the river was used, the flowing waters, the baptismals had flowing
yes.
waters in them and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an amazing experience, actually.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. Very meaningful.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never thought about that until I read that question. We just assume, we did get the picture as you know, we most of us came up out of the church. You just get the picture of that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
probably that's not what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting to think about. Okay. We have a question from Karen.
Okay.
And Karen says this, I have come across many teachers lately that are teaching that we are in the 1,000-year period when Satan will try to deceive the nations. So they are saying that Yeshua has already come back, and this is the 1,000 years of deception. They show massive catastrophes, civilizations destroyed, and a technologically advanced civilization. Some of it is compelling. She doesn't really think they're on the right track, but she'd love to get your take on this matter.
I guess I'm in agreement with her. That doesn't make sense to me.
No.
Doesn't seem to line up with a lot of prophecies that talk about it. And I will agree on this, that I think Hasatan, Satan, is out trying to deceive the nations all the time.
Yes.
You know, but he's been doing that for more than 1,000 years.
Yes.
He's been doing that since man was walking around the earth after
yeah.
he left the garden.
That's right.
So, this is an eschatology theory,
mm-hmm.
is really what it is. And by the way, guys, there's lots of eschatology theories,
yes.
you know, for it. You have to do a little bit of understanding about what the different views are, but just go to the scriptures. It's pretty explanatory, pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
ask some basic questions. Has the Lord come back yet? No. Okay, that kind of makes sense, you know, so yeah. forth. And I think you can sort most of that out. There's lots of teachers that will cover the subject and can give you a lot more information.
Yes. I always, when I hear those those theories,
different views.
The theories, I always think to myself, wouldn't we all know if Yeshua had come back already?
Well, yeah, you would think.
I did,
If this is the your idea of the kingdom,
gross.
What's the big deal about getting saved?
That's right.
You know.
Yeah. No, I'm looking for a much better place.
I have higher expectations.
Too. Amen to that. Yes, indeed. Okay. We have a question from Jennifer.
Okay.
Jennifer says, I work with a lot of younger people who are, for lack of a better word, addicted to tattoos. They seem to get tattoos all the time. One of them said Jesus had a tattoo on his left leg. I knew the scripture concerning this. My understanding of the commandments and possible translation error, maybe with the resh and the dalet, talking the scripture that talks about tattoos. She said she really respects your knowledge of the scripture and she'd like your take on this whole issue.
Well, let's talk about basics here. Young people and people who get tattoos are committed to appearance.
Yes.
They want to look a certain way. They wear certain kinds of clothes. And getting tattoos is one of the ways of expressing yourself so people see it. And by the way, they're aware of that. When you see a person come up with a tattoo, it immediately commands your attention.
Yes.
They know that. And that's what they're looking for. They're looking for the effect that you'll note my appearance.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're committed to. And what people are committed to, that's what they're going to do, and they're going to justify, and they're going to support. And so the Christian fellow who wants a tattoo and wants to committed to appearance and wants to look like other people of his age group and so forth, he's going to look for any kind of justification he can for the Bible. The problem is the Bible has a kind of a negative stance about tattoos. Mm-hmm. In fact, it says you're not supposed to put marks in your body.
Right.
Now, I know there's some people that argue about, well, it's not, you know, piercings and marks for the dead. And, you know, they try to limit the scope of what the commandment is. But the general principle is this. The general principle is whenever you put a mark on your body, you're indicating some kind of ownership.
Yes.
Same thing as when you put jewelry, when you pierce your ear. Those, when you do anything to alter your body, a piercing, a tattoo, a brand, it has to do with ownership.
Yes.
And the question is, well, who are you owned by? You know, who owns you?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you're giving an indicator that you're owned.
Yeah.
And I think that most people, you know, some have tried to suggest to me that it's kind of like body art.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that is a poor choice of for art.
Yeah.
Because I have seen, you know, my father had a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
He got it when he was a young man, about 20 years old,
yes.
You know, when he's in the Navy, got a big anchor on his arm.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him in his mid-30s and late-30s. And that thing was a blob smear.
Oh, no.
You know, I mean, you could kind of make out there was an anchor there.
Yeah.
But, you know, and he used to rub it all the time. And he became embarrassed with it.
Yeah.
And I saw that. And these young ladies that are getting some of these very colorful tattoos, do you know what that's going to look like when your skin turns 50?
Yeah, not beautiful.
Not like that.
No.
And you, for some reason, you're not understanding that when you do that. And so it's a short-term desire with long-term consequences.
Yes, indeed.
And if you really are into art, you know, go down and get a new outfit, get a new hat.
That's right.
You know, if you want to, you know, and you can get really colorful stuff. You can look very artistic.
Yes.
New pair of shoes. You know, try that.
That's right.
So anyways, I think that people who do that are caught up in the phenomena of, as a young person, you're committed to appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in that mode. Well, they're going to find out after a little bit, being committed to appearance is not satisfying,
right.
Very unfulfilling.
Yes.
And they're going to walk away with it, walk away from it eventually. And then, but they still have what was left over.
Yes.
The tattoo they got.
Yeah, I always thought about that with, you know, I would, when I see people who have a lot of tattoos, I think to my, I don't, not a judging thing, but I think to myself, ooh, in 30 years or 20 years, that's not going to look good.
You know, we just had a conversation not too long ago with a guy who had formerly been in a gang.
Mm-hmm.
And he very clearly said that tattoos are very meaningful because in that case, it's not only for the appearance to support intimidation.
That's right.
But it represents something very specific. Now,
yes.
You know, if you're the other people, you know, get a vest and they put patches on it.
Right.
Instead of, you know, the motorcycle gang will get a vest and they have patches. Those,
yes.
Those are their appearance that to have a certain right. look. They'll get tattoos too.
Yes.
But in the military, you get patches. Did you know that you could tell the different Pharisees way back in Yeshua's day? Because the Pharisees would wear different patches on their outer clothing to indicate which branch of the Pharisees they were.
I did not know that.
Yeah, there were 9 different branches of the Pharisees, and you could tell them apart by which patch.
Oh, wow.
Did they have on their outer outfit? You know, people put those things on your clothes for appearance purposes.
Yes.
They want to communicate, you know, something about them, and they want
yes.
you to know about it. Well, tattoos do the same thing.
That's
but
true.
Boy, is that a permanent way of indicating it.
Yeah, buddy. And I also know that from friends who've had tattoos, that tattoo removal
is very,
very
difficult.
Painful.
Yes.
Exceedingly painful. And, you know, I just think to myself, you know, with all the technology that we have, surely someone could come up with a not so painful way so that those that, you know, grow up more or get a little older and go, I don't like that on my skin. I need to take that off. And
well, I've even heard of those that they get the almost like a decal type tattoo
mm-hmm.
where it's not
yes.
pierced. And they are shamed for doing that. That
yeah.
you didn't go through
it's
the pain.
Real.
You didn't
right.
go through the pain of getting
mm-hmm.
a real tattoo.
Yeah.
And you see scenes of a guy in a tattoo parlor,
mm-hmm.
and you're always showing the scenes of them very tough. They're not
right.
They're not grimacing and so forth while this machine gun needle thing hits them.
Yeah, that's why I never received a tattoo because I can't sit still while someone's jabbing me. I just can't.
Well, I had enough
tattoos.
Can't
do it in the doctor's office.
When I got all of my shots when I went to Navy boot camp.
Yeah.
You know, and us veterans, we know all about the guns coming up and shooting you with all
yes.
the shots you had to get.
Yeah.
I don't need a tattoo.
No.
Yeah.
Can't do it. All right.
All right.
Well,
so much for
you.
Tattoos.
Yes. Thank you for that clarification. We have a question from Evie.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, she comes from a Russian background. And she says, after trying to translate some of your teachings and explain the Great Tribulation to my mom, who is Russian speaking, she is still in full support of the rapture of the Gentile bride of Christ, the church. I try to tell her that your teachings are based on the words of Yeshua and that what is written in the Bible, but she's quoting verses like Luke 17:34-36, which says, I tell you, on the night there will be two in bed, one will be taken, one will stay behind, that whole scripture passage there. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken away. And she says, I told her that you said the rapture will be after the Great Tribulation. How would you recommend that I present your teaching, the correct understanding,
mm-hmm.
To her Russian-speaking mom so that she opens her heart to learn what the truth is?
Okay, a couple of answers here for this. Part A answer is, the way you've got to teach the rapture is you have to teach it in conjunction with the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, 1
yes.
Thessalonians 4 is talking about primarily in the resurrection, but it's talking about those who are alive caught up with them.
Right.
So you have to focus on the subject of the resurrection and find passages that talk about the resurrection because the rapture happens with it.
Yes.
The rapture is not discussed by itself like a lot of people would like to think. No, it's talked about in conjunction with the resurrection. So that's what you focus on. You focus on where are the passages of scriptures that talk about the resurrection. That's the reason why we say it comes after the Great Tribulation, because the resurrection includes the tribulation saints.
Yes.
So you have to have gone through the tribulation, and then there's tribulation saints, then you have the resurrection. So set that aside. Let's talk about part B of the answer. It's not about a language barrier because she speaks Russian and you're having difficulty communicating. That's not what it is. It's this. A lot of Christians have been told about the rapture.
Yes.
Because it's like the ideal thing to answer if the world gets really bad.
Yep. God's and
as
take
they
us out.
As they see the world getting bad, they've been told again and again and again, before it gets too bad, God's going to come back and he's going to rapture you out.
Right.
Okay. Now, let's be honest. That's a lot more desirable than anything else I've heard.
Yes, it would be.
And, and you know, if that were true, that would be wonderful for us.
Yes,
you know,
indeed.
And so forth. However, that's not what the Bible describes. And by the way, God in times past, in dealing with his people in different situations, he's never done that before.
No.
You know, the children of Israel, had to go through the wilderness on their journey to the promised land. Everybody has had to endure some difficulty.
Yes.
And in fact, the Bible actually teaches this is what increases you in your faith.
Right.
It's what makes you a stronger spiritual person,
right,
is a little bit of adversity,
right,
but then God delivers you out of it.
Yes.
And I think the part C, part of this answer is, you have to show them the scriptures that talks about God's not abandoning you.
Right. He has a plan.
That God has a plan.
Yes.
To deliver his people.
That's right.
Now, the key to being delivered, but you got to believe in the Lord and you got to believe in his plan.
That's right.
And you got to participate with his plan.
Yes.
That's the one thing that kind of gets me on this subject the most.
Mm-hmm.
That is the least that is discussed by end time prophecy people. There's a tremendous amount of scripture where God is pledging to deliver his people in and through the great tribulation.
Yes.
Look at Revelation 2 and 3. There's how to become an overcomer. You know, all of those things and all the other promises that have been given to Israel and to the brethren. Why aren't we talking about God's wonderful plan of deliverance for us at the end of the age?
I know. I don't understand that either.
Well, instead, that takes study, that takes work, that takes effort. Yeah. It's much easier. Let's just agree on the rapture. And oh, by the way, if we can get all of us to agree to it, then God probably has to do it that way.
Well, sure.
That's the way they think. You know, see, if I just say it enough times, God will have to do it that way.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to disappoint me. You know what I'm saying? Because I got such a great relationship with God.
Right.
And God and I, every once in a while, I tell him a better way to run his universe. it's absurd.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it really is.
Way back, many years ago, we were pre-trib believers,
mm-hmm,
back in our church days, and even as we right before we were came to Messianic faith, we became post-tribbers. We were taught by someone who said, "Look at here's what it says," and then of course we became Messianic and we found Lion and Lamb's teaching on Revelation, and we went through that. And one thing that I always think about is, if Paul didn't escape all the things that he went through, Job, any of the apostles, Stephen, you know, they all died terrible, horrible deaths.
They paid a price.
Wow, big time. Why do we think that God will take us out before anything bad happens? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, the explanation they give is because they're the great and glorious church.
Yes.
And don't you know, the church gets a special deal compared to the way God's dealt with all of mankind before.
Ah.
That, at least that's their explanation.
Yes.
But that doesn't hold up.
No.
God doesn't show partiality.
That's right.
You know, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
And the promises, by the way, about our deliverance, they were given before Yeshua ever came.
That's right.
And so
lots
he's
the
same God keeping all those promises. And
yes,
it really comes down to a case of, are we willing to trust God?
Yes.
To protect us, trust God to deliver us,
yes,
even if we have difficulty in our days. Now, we know that other people have done it. and we can see the lessons of what they did. But are we willing to do that?
Yeah.
Are we willing to trust?
Yep.
And quite honestly, I think a lot of people just don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
And the idea.
Well, it's hard to think of.
And to hold on to the idea of the rapture is a way to escape all of it. I don't need to study this. I've got my answer. I'm pat.
Right.
And don't talk to me about facts. Don't give me other scriptures. My mind's made up.
Well, you know, and I think I've mentioned this pastor to you before. He was the pastor, Andrew Brunson, that was taken in Iran and held back in Trump's first administration.
Yeah.
But he wrote a very excellent book on his whole experience about that. But he also talks about the fact that the Western church, specifically Americans, but the Western church, he says, you have no idea what's coming. And it's coming, the persecution is coming way before we get to the Great Tribulation.
Correct.
So he's like, you know, don't think that we're all going to get out of this because that's part of it. God's going to clean, and you've said this 1,000 times. You know, God's going to clean house first in his own house. And I always took his words when I heard him say that very seriously, that we're not ready. We think we are because Americans have great pride in being American. But he said, this question, I've been waiting for this question.
Okay.
It seems like a simple question, but I think we can get really into this. So several of our viewers have asked, are followers of Yeshua allowed to use ChatGPT and other AI platforms?
Okay. Well, first of all, let's make sure we all have the same definition about what we're talking about.
Yes.
ChatGPT, both you can put on your phone as well as something that you can have your computer go to their site to get, is a almost like a research tool.
Yes.
It is a tool that you can go and ask literally of the internet questions. You can pose questions and say, would you gather up all the information on this particular subject for me, or whatever the case may be. If you want to have a little fun and you want to find out how it works, just go in and in ChatGPT and just say, who is Monty Judah? And I will tell you what it will do. It will come back and tell you that I'm the director and founder and director of Lion and Lamb Ministries.
Right.
That I'm a messianic teacher.
Yes.
And that there's certain things that I have taught. And it'll kind of go through a little bit of a sub list of what it is. And they'll say some of those are controversial with certain people and some are well received and so forth. And it gives, in my estimation, a very fair description of who I am, which when I read it, I said, I don't have any disputes with that.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. And I will tell you what people who are learning how to use this, it's a great way to go in and take stuff that already exists and have it summarize it for you.
Yes.
And have it, you know, tell me about this, include these things in it.
Right.
And it's amazing how it will come back and do it. By the way, I have news for you guys. We use AI here at Lion and Lamb Ministries.
Yes, we do.
We have these big programs that I will teach. And rather than the staff having to sit down and write a prospectus on what in the world did Monty teach about and all the different things that I taught about, or this Torah portion, what does Monty teach about, we ask AI, would you write us a prospectus? Would you give us a summary of what I talked about?
Yep.
I've never had a problem with it. I've always felt it was a fair and accurate rendition of explaining what I had said.
Yes.
And I myself am learning how to use this, and in doing Bible research, I can go in and pose a question about the Bible using only the Bible. Give me all of the scriptures and concepts with regard to the greater Exodus. It'll give you, boom,
and there it is.
Boom, here it comes. Here's a full outline.
Yeah.
You know, and explanations of all the concepts, all the different places in scriptures that talk about the final redemption, talk about the second Exodus, cite the actual references of the scripture, and there's my teaching.
Yes.
There's what I teach. And I've actually looked into doing some deeper Bible research you know, using some of that stuff.
Yeah.
ChatGPT is a way of writing something for you, preparing something for you that you could present, and you give the parameters to it as to, I want you to research and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I actually asked it I was just testing it out.
Sure.
And I said, write a farewell message from a man who has lost his best friends. He's passed on, but he wants to leave his friends with an encouraging final note.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing wrote one of the most beautiful descriptions I've ever seen.
Wow.
Of a guy talking about how important friendship is, mm-hmm. how good the friendship is, how thankful he is, how
yes.
grateful he is for him having been his friends, that it enriched his life,
yeah.
and he hoped that his life enriched their life. And if such a thing was read at a guy's funeral,
it would be
beautiful. I'm telling you, it would be a tearjerker.
Yes.
I mean, this is meaningful stuff.
Yes.
But it's doing what you asked it to do. That's the key.
Yes.
The key is, what are you asking it to do? Now, just like the final fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, these new things that come along, you can use them for good.
Or
you can use them for evil.
That's right.
And I think that's where the concern is at, because we have a lot of people in the world that will try to exploit this
yes.
to do evil thing. They'll try to use it to deceive better.
That's right.
And things like that. And that's the downside.
Yes.
So let me just say, it's part of our changing world.
Mm-hmm.
If I could give you a comparative change and what we're getting ready to see, it's a little bit like, your way of getting around the country has always been to ride the train.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, somebody introduces to you jet airliners and that you can now fly.
Yeah.
How do you go from riding the train to a jet airliner?
Right.
That's the transition we're making right now from desktop computing and the internet to what AI is about to become.
Yes.
It's going to be a radical and dramatic change. Let me
yes.
just tell you just very quickly. The world sees this coming, and they're getting ready for it. In fact, big companies and countries
mm-hmm.
are having to increase their electrical power outage
yes.
in dramatic proportions.
Yes, indeed.
Because in the next 3 years, AI is going to be so massive in the general life of all of us.
Yep.
And all of those computers and all of those memory banks and all the stuff that's processing the data is going to demand way more energy than we have at the present time.
That's right.
So we're talking about a very dramatic thing that's coming forth. ChatGPT is just the first installment at the amateur level, first
yes.
introduction. There are multiple levels of this,
yes.
and it's going to be life-changing.
It is.
It's going to change our world.
Yep.
And by the way, you can't stop it.
No.
You might as well come to terms with it. By the way, it's not the end of the world. That's described later in the Bible.
That's right. However, it is the end of our program.
Oh, okay.
But before we go, I just wanted to say, yes, exactly what you said. It is going to be a huge, dramatic shift. But you have to decide, as they say, to be a white hat or a black hat. And that's what hackers use that term if they're hacking for good.
Right.
Or you're a white hat, and if they're on the dark side, they're a black hat. And so you just have to make that choice.
Computers are used for a lot of good things, but computers also are used for bad things.
That's right.
So you have to make a choice.
That's
what
right.
are you going to do it for?
Yep.
And in my lifetime, we went through the transition of bringing computing into
yes.
the average person's. I made my career. You know, I rode
right.
that wave. And there's certain people that are going to get rich,
mm-hmm.
and certain people are going to, you know, their world is going to change because of that.
That's right. But we keep our eyes.
But God remains the same.
On the Lord, and that's what we go with.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Would you pray for
yeah.
us, please?
Father, thank you for the time that we've had today and for the questions that we've had come in. We pray by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you'd help us to understand your ways and your truths. We ask all of this in the name of our Messiah, Yeshua of Nazareth. Amen.
Amen. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. I'm with Eddie Chumley of Hebraic Heritage Ministries. We have partnered together, and lionandlamb.tv is our subscription service where you can get access to the whole load of teachings that we've done over the many years. Some of Eddie's materials are also on there. You can rent or purchase them at the same time. Eddie, thank you for being a part of that.
Well, I'm excited about this website. I'm excited about partnering with you and allowing the brethren to get access to our many teachings and materials that we've done over the years. And so subscribe today, lionlamb.tv.